landing and landing on his arm. And finally, a mosquito really got him good, stuck that blood sucker in him, and and he goes, ah! He says, just for that, you all get off. And he got rid of all the mosquitoes. Just for that, you all get off. Well, you know, my message this morning is something like that, and it's when God says enough is enough. I've had it. It's enough. God is more long-suffering than any of us. God is more forbearing than any of us. But he has those times when he says, okay, now time is up for you. I've given you your last opportunity for listening to what I'm saying to you through my word. You haven't been listening, or if you have been listening, you've been letting it go in one ear and out the other. And now I'm going to let you have the consequences for not doing what I told you to do. The time of warning is up. The time of waiting is up. And now you're going to get the consequences of doing what you shouldn't do or not doing what I want you to do. So this morning, I want to have some illustrations of this from the Bible and from life. And this evening, I want to apply it to our nation, United States of America, and to the systems of evil. Our God is, as I said, very long-suffering. He's very forbearing. He holds back his judgment. But there comes a time when his judgments come down, and they're very devastating. They have great consequence. And when God says, just for that, you all get off. Time is no more. Enough is enough. Then you're going to have to live with your failure to listen to the warnings of God. That's why the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Make sure that you listen to what God wants you to do. And so let me show you from the Bible some examples of this message when God has had enough. And let me say the first is to the northern kingdom of Israel. And the Bible says in Hosea 4, verse 17, these words. He says, God says, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Boy, I don't like that. The Bible says God gave them up, speaking of a certain country. God just gave them up. God gave them up. What a terrible thing it is when God says, okay, you're not listening. You're not hearing what I'm saying to you, so I'm just going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to speak to you anymore. I'm not going to convict you anymore. I'm not going to deal with you anymore. I'm just going to let you go, and you're going to have to live with the consequences of what you've done. Now, the man that gave that prophecy was a man by the name of Hosea, and God told him to marry a woman who, that woman was a very whorish woman. You say, well, why would God tell a preacher to marry a whorish woman? Because God felt like he was married to a whorish nation called Israel. And you know what a whorish person does? They flirt with people that are not their spouse. They flirt and they try to draw attention in a bad way, in a physical way, from people that are not their spouse so they can cheat on their spouse. And Hosea was told to marry that kind of woman. Her name was Gomer. Gomer. And she was a flirt, and she liked attention, and she flirted with everybody that came down the pike. And her own husband was a good man. He was a godly man. He took care of her. He provided her with nice clothes, nice things, a nice house, everything she needed. But no, that wasn't enough for her. She had to get attention from other men. And she got that attention. And of course, what they were interested in was a physical relationship with his wife. And they got what they wanted. She was easy. And they got what they wanted over and over again. And eventually, she wound up leaving the house. And eventually, Hosea just let her go. He didn't take care of her anymore. He didn't provide her with food. He didn't provide her with clothing. He just let her go. And she was riding high for a while. But you know what? She was riding high in April, but she was shot down in May. Amen? She went down low. And she didn't have any food. She had no clothes. She was not desired anymore. She went from beautiful to ugly. And she had nobody to go to. And guess what she did? She went back to her husband. Now, he could have said, too late, ma'am. Too late. Now, he took her back. And God divorced Israel in the Old Testament because they played the whore on him. But the Bible says God's going to remarry Israel. He's going to take Israel back. But let me tell you this morning, do not build a doctrine on God's mercy, because it will come to the point in your life, if you do not listen to God, he will be like it says in Hosea 4, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone, and it's going to be very painful for you at that time. I remember some years ago, a young person in our church, a young person that was involved in this ministry, they kept going off and doing things they shouldn't do, going their own way and doing their own thing. And I remember thinking about that person, and I wanted to keep going after that person. And I read this verse in Hosea 4:17, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. And I realized God was telling me through this verse of scripture, do not go after this person. Do not call this person. Do not try to help this person. Just like Hosea, do not try to provide for your wife. Do not try to help her. She is not faithful. You just let her go with her paramours and let them take care of her. And she went right down into the gutter. She went down very low. And I realized that this young person went down into the gutters, went down very low, went down into difficulty. Now the good news is this person came back. They came back. Came back to the Lord. Came back to the church. I'm just saying God brought them back. Thank God for that. But sometimes a person has to go pretty low before they'll come back. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. But how low do you want to go? How far do you want to go? It's better that you don't do that, that you listen to what God says and act on what God wants you to do. I remember one time a member of this church decided they were going to go their own way. They were going to do their own thing. And it was the same thing. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. And I remember this person left the church. They left their ministries. They left their responsibilities. And you know what? I wanted to go after this person. Instead of being a pastor, I had a temptation to be a policeman and investigate, where did they go? What are they doing? And you know what? When I wanted to be a policeman, God reminded me, no, you're a pastor. I have let this person go. You let them go. And you let me deal with them. And this person went, and let me tell you, they went down very low. They went down into a lot of pain. They went down into a lot of tears. They went down into a lot of grief. And a lot of years went by. Let me tell you, don't be foolish. When God speaks to your heart, don't put it off. Do what God wants you to do. You know, the most valuable thing you have is time. And if you waste time by not listening to God, you're wasting a very valuable thing. And in life, there are no what? Do-overs. Amen? There are no do-overs. And this person went away, and God reminded me, you're not a policeman. Now, once again, God brought this person back. Brought them back to church. And blessed their life when they came back. Just like when Israel comes back, Israel will be blessed. Just like when Gomer came back, Gomer would be left. But what a sad thing it is when you join yourself to an idol and you don't listen to what God is saying to you, and then you miss out on what God has for you. Oh, beloved, this morning, don't follow the bad example of the northern kingdom of Israel, and don't do those kind of things. You know what? We've had people that have been saved or profess to be saved. I'm not going to say they're necessarily saved. And then they get baptized. And then they join the church. And they continue in the youth group or continue in the church and continue for a time. And then they get onto an idol and they serve that idol. And they commit sin in their life and they go against the word of God. And then folks in the church that love them say, listen, you're not listening to what the pastor's preaching. You're not listening to what the Bible says. Turn and go back to God. Come back to church. And they many times will say, let the pastor take a long walk off a short pier. I don't want to hear that. Don't give me that. I'm doing my own thing. And then it comes to the point where it goes to the church. And the church, after Matthew 18, and a person comes to them, then two or three come to them, and then it finally goes to the church. And then the whole church sends them a letter, and through a representative says, hey, the whole church is saying you need to repent. Ah, but what happens? Ephraim has joined himself to an idol, and so they won't repent, and the church says, okay, let them alone. They can't come to church now. They can't take the Lord's table. Let them alone. Don't eat with them. Don't spend time socializing with them. Let them alone. Why? So they might be ashamed. Why? So they might get right with God. And that goes on maybe for a year or 2 years. And under our church constitution, if it continues on, there's a choice. Either they can repent and come back, and that's a good thing. Thank God for those that have been on church discipline and have repented and come back. And they enjoy the word of God. And they enjoy the Lord's table. And they enjoy the fellowship of other believers in the church. And let me say, make the most of it when you come back. But there are those, now listen to me, that they don't come back. And finally, the church has a decision to make. They can extend the discipline, and sometimes that's been done, but after a while, God says, okay, now you treat them as a publican and as a tax collector. In other words, as an unsaved person. And at that point in time, the church votes to treat them as though they're just an unsaved person. Let me say to you, that is not a good place to be in. That is not a good place to be in. I've been a pastor for over 46 years, and I've never seen one person that's gone through all of that that's come back and stayed back. They may come back for a moment, a while. I've never seen it. Now, I hope in God I see it someday, but I've never seen it. And the Bible gives terrible warnings in the book of Hebrews and in 2 Peter about such a person. Let me say to you, do not play with God. God is not mocked. There's a time when He says, enough is enough. Oh, would to God you wouldn't go through any of what I've talked about. But if you do, listen to me, turn and turn back to God and come back to Him. He is merciful. He is kind. And do what God wants you to do. And bear real fruit for God and live for God. Don't be like it says when God says enough is enough. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Don't get yourself in that place. Secondly, not only that example, but there's a second example. When God says enough is enough, as He did in the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God made this statement, my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. You see, it says in the days of Noah, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God looked at the thoughts of the heart and He said, these guys are just having wicked imaginations. They're thinking about doing evil. That's all they're thinking about. He said, okay, it's so bad now, I am going to destroy the whole world. By the way, is God going to destroy the world again? Yes, He is. He destroyed the world once with water. The next time it will not be a flood of water, it will be fire. And God says that He warns you that you need to be saved. I look at this, and God told one man, Noah, He said, I want you to build a boat. Now keep in mind, it had never rained during the days of Noah. There was no rain on the earth for 1500 years. The earth used to get its water from underground subterranean water. It would come up like a mist and would water the ground. They didn't have a cloud in the sky. They never had rain. The earth was beautiful, and they never had rain. But He told Noah to build a boat about as big as a carnival cruise boat. A humongous boat. He said, I want you to build that with three levels on the boat. And He said, you know, we're going to save animals alive on the boat. We're going to save anybody that will come into that boat and commit to come into that boat and be there. Well, you know, it had never rained. And he was building a boat on dry land where there was no water near. You couldn't move such a big ship. And he built it and built it and built it. How do you think people responded? They laughed at him. They said, oh, that's a bunch of baloney. You know, rain. What are you talking about? There's no rain in the sky. We don't have rain. He said, but God's going to send rain. He's going to flood the earth. It's going to be so great that you'll need this boat to stay alive. Can I get anybody that's willing to trust the Word of God and believe God when He said He's going to flood the world? Can I get anybody to believe it? And people said, yeah, I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous. They mocked Him. Do you know what? People mock God today. People say, I don't need to go to Jesus. I don't need to trust Jesus. And they mock God today. They turn away from God, and they don't listen to what God said, and they don't do what God wants them to do. I remember when I had devotions one time in my house, and I had my oldest daughter, she heard the devotions, and I was talking about Noah and the ark. And I said, the ark represents Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and rose again to pay for our sins. And you need to enter into Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus to be saved. She was only a little girl. And she believed the Word of God, and she got saved. She got in a taxi, went to Christian school, to kindergarten. She told her taxi driver, I've been saved by Jesus. She told him, you need to get saved. And you know what? Then she got baptized as a little girl and joined the church. And I'm just saying to you that you need to be like a little child. You need to receive the offer for Jesus to save you, and do not put it off, you see, because if you put it off, you are being very foolish, and God will come to a point when He'll say, enough is enough. After you get saved, by the way, you should be willing to get baptized. You should be willing to come forward and say, I've accepted the Lord. It troubles me when somebody claims to get saved, but they're not willing to get baptized. I'm married to my wife. I can take my wedding ring off. Am I still married? No, that's my wedding ring. Am I still married to my wife? Yeah, I'm still married. But what would you think of me if I refused to wear this ring when I went out in public? You'd think something's wrong with that guy. But I put the ring on because I'm not ashamed to say I'm married. What about a believer that says, I believe in Jesus, He is my Savior, but they're not willing to get baptized? They're ashamed to be dunked under the water and to get back up and say, I died and was buried, and I've got a new life with Jesus, and I'm not ashamed. Listen, that's what God says that you should do, and you shouldn't put that off. As soon as people got saved, they came forward and they got baptized. And then after you get baptized, you should join the church. But if you're living with somebody and you're not married to them, you're living in fornication, you can't join the church because you'd be disciplined right out of it. And so you need to put that away and join the church and do what God wants you to do. What am I saying to you? I'm saying there comes a time when God tells you to do it and tells you to do it, and you keep ignoring God, and it comes to the point where God says, enough is enough. And this is what He told Noah. He said, Noah, I'm going to give 120 years more before I'm going to destroy the world. And if people don't listen, enough is enough. I'm going to have everybody get in the ark that believes your message. And then I'm going to shut the door behind you, and nobody's going to be able to get into the ark. They're not going to be able to get in. They're going to be shut out. And so they were shut out at that point. Now listen, God says this. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, Jesus knocks at the door of your heart. He has holes in his hands. He knocks at the door of your heart. He said, I died so that you might be saved. Now you need to come to me and put your trust in me to save you, and he'll save you. But listen, you say, oh, I'm gonna put that off. I'm not going to do that. Listen, God will say there's a time when enough is enough. Our former pastor, he heard the message to get saved when he was in the seventh grade. He said, not now, not now. Thank God he had another opportunity when he was a senior in high school. A youth pastor, along with one of his fellow athletes in his public school, came to his house and knocked on the door, and they told him how to get saved. They said, Charlie, Romans says man's a sinner. There's a price for sin. You're going to have to die and go to hell. Now, Charlie knew between 7th and 12th grade, he'd done things he never thought he would do. He realized for the first time, I'm a sinner. I'm going to go to hell. And when they told him Jesus died and rose again to save the world, and if you put your trust in Jesus, you'll be saved, he was ready, and he said, Lord, I can't live this Christian life, but I trust you to save me. And God saved him and blessed him. But listen, have you put God off about getting saved? Don't you do that. Have you put God off about getting baptized? Have you put God off about being a member of the local church? And you say, oh, I'm too busy with my job. I'm too busy with this. I've got too many. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. There's a time when God would say, enough is enough. I'm going to give you what you want. But you're not going to like the consequences. You know, there was a man who wrote much of the New Testament. His name was Saul. And he was persecuting believers. And he was putting them in jail. And one man was stoned to death that was a deacon in the church that was witnessing for Jesus. And Saul said, here, I'll hold your coat. You just throw the stones at Stephen. Go ahead. I'm for you killing him. I don't like what he's saying. He's part of a cult, you know. And they held the coats. And finally, listen to me. God could have said to Saul, enough is enough. But guess what? He didn't do that. He gave him another opportunity. And he started pricking his heart. And Stephen was martyred. And Saul realized, you know what? I'm fighting God. He began to realize. And finally, the Lord appeared to him and made him blind and spoke to him and said, you need to get saved. And Saul got saved on the Damascus Road. Thank God for his patience. Thank God for his long suffering. Thank God for his faithfulness. But don't, listen to me, don't build a doctrine on God's mercy. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. One time the devil got a bunch of devils together, his demons, and he said, look, we've got to trick people and get them in hell. Come up with some ideas to get people in hell. And one demon came up and he said, hey, have a Christian church. Say you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You believe he died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. You believe he rose again. You believe, you know, that Mary was a virgin and had Jesus as a virgin. Say all of those things, but I want you to add to it, you've got to do confession to a priest, add to it that you've got to take the sacraments and add works to faith, and then you'll be saved, perhaps, if you do that. He said, that's a great idea. I'll use that idea. That'll put a lot of people in hell. And there are a lot of people that are going to hell because of that. They don't trust Jesus alone. Then another guy said, well, I'll just say that everything evolved from nothing. There was a big bang and everything evolved, and that we're just evolved and we're getting better and better and things are getting better and better and we're getting smarter and smarter. And he said, that's a great idea. I'll use that. And a lot of people that wouldn't be religious, they'll get into it by being secular and humanistic, and they'll be damned to hell. He does. He uses evolution. But there was another guy, another devil, and he said, look, let them believe that there is a hell. Let them believe that there's a heaven. Let them believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Let them believe that Jesus is the one that died and that he was buried, that he rose again. Let them believe everything in there. He said, but then just tell them this. Tell them this. I'll wait till a better time to accept Jesus as my Savior. Not right now. I'll do it later. And that is called putting it off, procrastination. The devil said, you've come up with the best idea of all. That will put more people in hell than anything else. Because the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time. If you hear the Word of God, don't put it off till tonight. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't put it off. You can't boast yourself of tomorrow. The Bible says you don't know what one day is going to bring forth. That is a lie of Satan that he tries to get you. You need to get saved right now. You need to surrender to the Word of God right now. And don't put it off, because God said, I will say, enough is enough. And there comes that moment when God says enough is enough. And it could be right now in this service. Right now when you're hearing this message this morning. You're not promised you'll get another opportunity. I've been to the Niagara River. How many have been to the Niagara River? I've been there up into upstate New York. It's a river that flows down over the Niagara Falls. I've looked at the river upstream. There's nice parks up there, and I've been there. How many have been there to the parks upstream? Yeah, there's nice parks up there. It looks very nice, and you look at it, and there is a place, though. It doesn't look like the water's running very swiftly. It doesn't seem to be, but it has a big sign. You know what that sign says? The point of no return. The point of no return. And that means that you go swimming from this, and it looks like you could just go swimming out there. And you could just go out in the water and swim and then swim back. But if you're beyond that sign, the point of no return, there's no way that you can swim back. The current underneath is too powerful. You're too close to the falls. You've reached the point of no return. And once you get to that point, you cannot get back to shore. It's very deceptive. There are a lot of people, they go to church and say, well, that was an interesting message. I'll consider it, and maybe I'll get saved someday. I used to think that maybe I'll get saved when I got 1 foot on a banana peel and 1 foot in the grave. I'm too young for that right now. Let me tell you, people die when they're young. You don't know when you're going to die. And I'm just saying to you, you could be reaching the point of no return. And that happened when God said, enough is enough. And you don't listen. And then you get it. That is what the Bible says in Genesis 6. God says, my spirit shall not always strive. I'm going to stop bothering that person. I'm not going to convict that person. I'm not going to trouble that person anymore. That can happen with a person that doesn't get truly saved and truly born again. Then they go on church discipline. They're excommunicated. And they never get troubled again in a powerful way. And I'm just saying, it can happen to you. Enough is enough, God said. And I want to say one more thing. Enough is enough, as he does with any of you that fail to heed what the warning in Proverbs 29 says. Here's what it says in Proverbs 29. He that being often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now the Bible says that God warns you before He brings down on your life bad things because you've not listened to his warning. He may do that to a child of God. You can be a child of God and you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. And God keeps warning you from the preaching of the Word of God or from some believer that is telling you, stop this, turn around, don't do this. But you harden your neck. You stiffen your neck stubbornly, and you've got a reason to say, oh, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to listen to that. I don't have to listen to what you're saying. And it may be a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit that is telling you the truth, and you refuse to do it for whatever reason. And here's what the Bible says to you this morning. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. God is saying, I may repeatedly warn you, and if you don't listen and turn around, it's going to be too late. I preached a while back, the handwriting is on the wall. How many heard that message? The handwriting is on the wall. And you remember there was a guy who was the head of Babylon named Belteshazzar. And you remember he was the grandson of the king Nebuchadnezzar. And he'd heard about Nebuchadnezzar. He'd heard about how God dealt with him. He'd heard about how Nebuchadnezzar was prideful and thought Babylon was great and how God made him lose his sanity. And for 7 years he lost his mind. Then God gave him the kingdom back. He heard about the Persians that they were going to take over the kingdom from Babylon. One day, Nebuchadnezzar became a believer. He'd heard about that, but guess what? He kept worshiping the false god of Bel, the god of the Babylonians. And he started to have a party. He got drunk. He had fun at the party, had all kind of immorality at the party. And he had heard about the Persians that they were going to take over his kingdom. And the Persian army was right outside of where he was having the party. But he was fine. He said, it's all right. I don't care about that. I know that the walls of Babylon are secure. Everything is fine for me. I don't worry about that. Everything's going to be good. And then all of a sudden, a hand appeared and wrote a handwriting on the wall. And God said, your time is up. That very night, the Persians came in under the river that they dammed up, and they took him and they killed him. His time was up. I'm just saying to you that he was often reproved. He kept stiffening his neck, and suddenly he was going to be broken, and that without remedy. You know what? There are certain things in your life as a child of God. When you're being warned to stop doing those things, maybe through preaching, and you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off, and finally said, God says, enough is enough. I'm going to just let you suffer the consequences of not listening to what the preaching is saying. And you suffer those consequences, and you pay for those consequences, and it's very painful, and you go through horrible things, and you suffer, and you realize, and you say, why did I procrastinate? Why didn't I listen? Why now do I have to go through all this suffering and all this difficulty? Well, it's just because you didn't listen. Now listen, here's what it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 22. And because thou sufferest or allowest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols, and I gave her time to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, and except they repent of their deeds. You see, the church didn't listen. They allowed this wicked woman, nicknamed Jezebel, to keep teaching and leading people astray in the church, and people that followed her, he said, they're going to really go through some great pain, some great suffering because they followed the teaching of that woman. You know, I've had people say, well, I don't want to join this church because they're too old-fashioned. Their ways are too old-fashioned. Their standards are too old-fashioned. But let me tell you, God gives you time to get right with Him. God gives you time to do what He says. And if you don't do it, He'll let you go your own way, but you will suffer the consequences of it. I believe this morning God is saying, listen, there is a time when enough is enough. When it comes to being saved, do not go beyond that time and then suffer the consequences of it. Get right now, get saved and be safe in Jesus, just like those people that got into the ark and they were saved. Don't be like those people that God says, oh, they've joined idols, just let them alone and let them suffer the pain and let them suffer the consequences and lose the time and lose so much of what I want to give them in this life. No, don't do that. Don't let it be said when God has said enough is enough. God is a God of justice. God is a God of judgment. But I want to be on the right side when God's just judgment falls down. I don't want to be under the hand that's coming down to spank. I don't want to be there. And I want to warn you, don't do that, because there are some things that God wants you to do. God may want you to change the way you're dressing. You better do it. God wants you to change the way you're doing your hair. You better do it. God wants you to get rid of alcoholic beverages. You better do it. God wants you to get saved. You better do it. Get baptized. You better do it. Join the church and do what you need to do. You better do it. You don't know how much more time that we have. There is a time when God says enough is enough. You didn't listen. I warned you and I warned you and I warned you. You kept stiffening your neck, and now you're going to have to suffer perhaps for the rest of your life and maybe into eternity, depending on what you've done or not done. You're going to have to suffer because you didn't listen when you were warned. There is a time when God says enough is enough. How about you today? Has God been dealing with your heart? Jesus gently knocks at the door of your heart. And He says, if you open the door, I'll save you. And I'll come into your heart. Don't put Him off. But do it today. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. There's a time in your life when God says,